I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Akosua Yamwa. In the headlines, former Deputy Finance Minister says government is not likely to overspend in election year due to stability in world economy. Deputy Minister of Information alleges homosexuality phenomenon is being overblown. US-Libya talks deadlocked. Ailing Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez to seek re-election. And journalists at Center of Phone Hacking Allegations Against News International founded. First, a summary by Jonathan Thompson.
Former Deputy Finance Minister in the MPP administration, Professor Jan Bafor, has acknowledged government is not likely to overspend in the election year. This, he explains, is due to the stability in the world economy. He, however, foresees likely problems from the labor front, where there are calls for increased salaries. As the debate over homosexuality in the country rages on, Deputy Minister of Information Samuel Okudzeto-Ablakwa has raised concerns that it is possible the practice is being exaggerated. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Okudzeto-Ablakwa said government is not in a hurry to legalize homosexuality. American and Libyan officials have held talks at which Washington reiterated its demands that Colonel Gaddafi should step down unconditionally. A Libyan spokesman at the talks, however, said Tripoli supports dialogue with the U.S., but not on any condition. Ailing Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez is to stand for re-election next year. President Chavez earlier issued a message ahead of his second day of his chemotherapy treatment in Cuba, saying he will win his battle for life. Reports say his ill health has caused political uncertainty in Venezuela. And the journalist at the Center of Phone Hacking Allegations Against the UK's News of the World newspaper has been found dead. Police say the death is not thought to be suspicious, but is being treated as unexplained. The disease worked for the News of the World paper.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are Total.
The news in detail. A former Deputy Finance Minister in the NPP government, Professor Jan Bafor, says government is not likely to overspend in the election year. This is because the world economy seems stable. However, it is likely to face problems on the labor front, where there calls for an increase in salaries. Professor Jan Bafor said this on Behind the News in reaction to Vice President Mahama's statement that government will maintain budgetary discipline in the election year. He spoke to Kingsley Obenchire.
Some of these excesses that are alleged to be associated with elections are really not the case. Usually, when you look at the election cycles that we've gone through, is the 2000 elections and the 2008 elections that is associated with this high expenditure that people have been referring to. But if you look at those years, they were also years where there was a worldwide cyclical economic difficulties. I don't expect it this year because that cyclical element will be out of of it, because this time around the economy, the external market is very, very good, so there will be no problem from the external forces. But the difficulty that I anticipate for this time around is just only about the labor front. Normally, towards the election years, the governments are a little bit vulnerable, and therefore the demand, especially from the labor front, is very, very high.
The demand from government persons by workers, is it manageable, especially where they are holding their fist or thumbs to you and telling you that this is it, it is swaying in a different direction if you don't respond to us?
It is not easy at all, and what we can do is normally not to allow those demands, do it, spread it over a period of time so that they don't coincide with the election cycle.
Former Deputy Finance Minister Professor Jan Bafo. Meanwhile, the Vice President of Imani, Kofi Bento, says his government wants to achieve its economic targets in the run-up to the 2012 elections. It has to plan ahead and avoid extra budgetary spending. Mr. Bento spoke to Kingsley Obinchere.
We should not, in the name of an election, derail our economy. It takes quite a bit of effort to get the stability that we have now. And the tendency is that it will all be eroded because of the election. I think that we are going and we should get to the point where we don't just whittle away all the gains that we make simply because we are looking for an election victory.
We are growing, but naturally there are things that we should see too. If there are contracts, we must naturally finish them. Even if they are slow, we want to hasten the process. If there are workers, we want to cater for them. Things that people will say are justified expenditure, but sometimes so much during election year. What do we do with them?
That is why we have planning. Whatever has to be done, you can plan it ahead 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So if we plan well, then from the 1st of January on 2012, we will know exactly what we will do. And we can calculate and know the effect of all of those things on the economy. The problem is not spending or not spending. The problem is not whether there are contracts or no contracts. The problem is extra budgetary spending, which is inflationary in its effect. So those are the real issues. And if we desist from extra budgetary spending, which tend to be inflationary for the purpose of elections, we should be fine.
Have you presented some papers on it already to governments and perhaps to the opposition too, in trying to get all together?
We haven't. We have a huge bureaucracy that is supposed to do all those things. The Ministry of Finance and Economic Planning, we have the planning agencies, we have all kinds of institutions and people who are supposed to do this work. And frankly, even though we are happy to work beside them as civil society organizations, we think that people have a primary responsibility to plan and execute these plans even without the input of civil society. And I hope that they will do that.
Vice President of Imani, Kofi Bento, talking to Kingsley Obinchere. A Deputy Minister of Information, Samuel Okudjetua Blakwa, says government is not in a hurry to legalize their homosexuality law, but said there's a possible exaggeration of the phenomenon in the country. He spoke to Samuel Issa.
As a government, we have indicated that we are in no hurry to amend our laws to legalize homosexuality. There is even the debate that our laws are not very clear and far-reaching enough. The Constitution Review Commission is currently looking at this homosexuality issue with a view to strengthen our laws and make our laws respond to the issue more specifically, because our laws only talk about unnatural carnal knowledge, and unnatural carnal knowledge lends itself to all kinds of interpretation. We support the activities of the Constitution Review Commission in trying to bring clarity. We will be waiting for whatever outcomes they will arrive at, and then we will put these outcomes to the public.
Are you surprised by the outcry against homosexuality and lesbianism?
We are not surprised about the outcry. As a government, we know that Ghana is still a very conservative society. We respect our values, our traditions, our conventions across the board. Muslims, Christians, traditionals, all believe that we should go about things in the properly ordained way. What we are, however, concerned about is that we think that there might be a possible exaggeration of the phenomenon in Ghana, especially the initial reports that claim that 8,000 people had registered in the Western region alone. We have still not been able to ascertain a breakdown of that list, which NGOs did it, and who are the names on that 8,000. The Ministry of Social Welfare and Employment has done its best to try to get to the bottom of that 8,000 figure so that whatever assistance can be given, because in that story we were told that they have become HIV infested and all of that, but we have not still been able to get a true confirmation of that figure.
The Deputy Minister of Information, Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa. Meanwhile, the Christian Council of Ghana has asked Christians to vote against any political party which supports homosexuality. The council says the wrath of God will come upon the nation and the consequences will be unbearable if lawmakers pass any pro-homosexuality law. The Christian Council says the future of the youth cannot be toyed with in the name of human rights. Addressing the media in Accra, the General Secretary of the Christian Council, Reverend Dr. Fred Digby, commended government for coming out to condemn the act of homosexuality.
The seriousness of the homosexual issue for us in Ghana is that it is becoming a problem as our youth, who always emulate the lifestyle of the Western world, whether good or bad, think they can do it. We commend the government for coming out promptly and boldly to condemn and prevent this abomination from happening on Ghanaian soil. Already, some key leaders of the churches in Ghana have condemned the act of homosexuality. We, as a Christian community in Ghana, totally condemn it as an unnatural and ungodly act and call on all religious bodies and organizations, traditional rulers, and all decent loving Ghanaians to join in this campaign.
General Secretary of the Christian Council, Reverend Dr. Fred Digby. The Ghana Association of Writers has appealed to government to set up a system that will enable the Ghana Library Board to buy at least 1,000 copies of every book published in Ghana which passes a quality test. This will bring about a win-win situation where writers will sell their works whilst the libraries are restocked with their books. The association made the demand when its executives called on Vice President John Dramani Mahama at the Castle Osu. Pascalina Dadivo reports that Vice President Mahama used the occasion to call for the encouragement of reading among children.
The Ghana Association of Writers traces its roots to the Ghana Society of Writers, which was formed shortly after independence. It is believed that the founding members of the association played influential roles in the struggle for independence, using literature as their weapon and platform for struggle. Down the years, the association faces challenges of resources and a dwindling image. It is against this background that members called on the Vice President, who is a writer and communicator, to channel their concerns and solicit support for their school's outreach program and other community-related activities on the drawing board. Vice President John Mahama regretted that the level of reading among especially children has gone down due to modern technologies. He said government is in the process of decentralizing some state enterprises, of which the Ghana Library Board is part.
We're in the process of decentralizing several state organizations, and the Ghana Library Board is one of those included in terms of decentralization. We think that districts must own their own libraries and contribute to, instead of this huge centralized organization that procures books and distributes them across the country, they are normally not sufficient. Let the district assemblies own and control their libraries, and they know what priority publications they need per year and all that. And so I think you are on the right track, and we are willing to assist and collaborate with you to achieve the objectives that you've set for yourself. One, to encourage more people to go into writing, and two, to increase the stock of literary works that we have available locally. We must also contribute to the world of knowledge by encouraging our own indigenous writers to document our culture and all that. And so in that respect, I think government has an obligation to you to work with you to see how we can encourage more Ghanaians to write.
The president of the association, Kwesi Jana Penton, was hopeful that with government support, the association will return to its former glory and vibrancy. He outlined a number of activities the association intends to undertake. These include Books Festival in September and a writing academy to increase the stock of quality writing in the country. GAO also intends to reintroduce the Ghana Literary Awards next year.
The reading culture in Ghana today is not what it used to be, and reading has lost its shine as a leisure and educational activity. And this is a worry expressed by parents, teachers, and indeed the Ghana Education Service. Therefore, we, the Ghana Association of Writers, are aware that reading is also the market for writers and writing. We've made the rekindling of interest in reading a central focus of our activities. To this end, we have started a school's outreach project by which we hope institute literary clubs in all second and third cycle institutions in order to stimulate both reading and writing as creative activities among young people in the country.
Vice President John Mahama announced that hopefully by next year he will launch his first book. The book gives insight into his childhood experience as young Dramani, coups and the political situation then in Africa. For Radio Ghana, Pascaline Adadevo, Accra.
A civil society organization, the Law and Advocacy for Women in Africa, LAWA, says despite numerous interventions, cases of women's rights abuse are on the increase. A representative of the organization, Mrs. Sheila Minka Premo, blames the situation on emerging trends of violations, such as capturing of nakedness of women in video clips and the lurid portrayal of females in music and newspapers. She asked the media to step up efforts to address these issues in a professional manner. Mrs. Minka Premo was speaking at a training program on women's rights in Accra for journalists Naja Ble Ago and Victoria Haji, her father's report.
Mrs. Minka Premo said, although laws to address these problems exist, there are still challenges in their application. She cited ignorance, unwillingness to prosecute, and cultural barriers in using laws as some of the challenges. Mrs. Minka Premo urged the media to educate the public and avoid a stereotypical way of reporting to help insulate women from abuse. The director of Women's Department of the Ministry of Women and Children's Affairs, Patience Opoku, advocated more education for traditional authorities on women's rights. This should be part of a national approach to give women's rights violation the needed attention at all levels of society. The executive director of the foundation, Professor Kwame Kakari, said the training is also to build a strong collaboration between the selected radio stations, DOFSU, SHRAD, and the Women's Department of the Ministry of Women and Children's Affairs to facilitate effective women's rights advocacy programs. The foundation called on the media to come out with programs that give voice to women and promote their rights as well.
Na Jabli Ago and Victoria Haji filed that report. The Public Utilities Regulatory Commission, PURC, has visited the Kwong Hedwigs to get first-hand information on the events that led to the shutdown of the treatment plant. During the shutdown, the 63-inch fiberglass pipeline that transports raw water from the raw water intake of the Kwong treatment plant was repaired. The PURC Executive Secretary, Stephen Edu, expressed relief that the Ghana Water Company had successfully completed repairing the pipeline and had started pumping water through it. He commended the GWCL for the speed and technical expertise employed in the repair works. Augustine Akwe and Julius Nati joined the PURC team and our reports.
The shutdown of the Kwong water treatment plant halted water transmission to the eastern and western parts of Accra and Tema. Residents of La, Teshi, Cantonment, Mamobi, Achimota and other industrial and residential areas had to grapple with water shortage for about 4 days. The PURC boss, Stephen Edu, said the regulatory bodies constantly monitors the work of utility providers. He called for the commitment of utility providers to ensure such occurrences are expeditely dealt with.
We have a schedule for monitoring all the water systems, so this is part of it. But immediately this was triggered by the fact that this incident had happened. Well, it was difficult to prevent it altogether, because these are materials that can be damaged accidentally. This part of the world, perhaps we don't have all the sophisticated equipment to be able to detect all this and monitor. But with diligence and commitment, I think they'll be able to discover as soon as something happens and quickly attend to it. The commitment must be there.
The station manager of the Kwong Headworks, Ebu Akwando, took the team round to inspect the facility and explained what went into the repairs. He said though the fiberglass had a lifespan of about 100 years, metal rings used to link the pipelines had corroded over time, causing leaks. He said as a means of curbing such an occurrence, the GWCL has contracted a company to mold a fiberglass around the metal rings. Mr. Kwando said GWCL is considering laying a second pipeline parallel to the existing one so that when such a problem occurs, they can have a backup. The Kwong Headworks extracts about 50 million gallons of raw water a day to be treated. Of this volume, about 44 million gallons are treated daily for consumption. Currently, a Chinese firm is also constructing a 40 million gallon a day water treatment facility at Kwong, with a 12 million gallon capacity being done by the Sahar company. The repair works is estimated to have cost €130,000.
A report by Augustus Akwe and Julius Nati. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Former Deputy Finance Minister says government is not likely to overspend in election year due to stability in world economy. Deputy Minister of Information alleges homosexuality phenomenon is being overblown. US-Libya talks deadlocked. Ailing Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez to seek re-election, and journalists are sent off phone hacking allegations against News International founded. An oil and gas company, Strategic Oil and Gas Resources Statoil, says there were no violations of any law in its agreement with MODEC. A statement issued in Accra and signed by the chief executive of Statoil, Tachuki Chikata, so the company won the bid through due diligence and not any other consideration. It explained that Statoil provided strategic analysis and advice to MODEC in relation to the tender for the building of the FPSO Kwame Nkrumah. Statoil said its advice enabled MODEC to put in what was adjudged the best bid offer technically and financially. It said the tender of MODEC was priced much lower than the next bid in all technical standards. According to the statement, the tender was beneficial to Ghana as well as the partners in the Jubilee project, as companies providing services for their projects offer low prices for quality services. This leaves more of the value of the oil resources to the country and those investing in the risk of oil exploration. It therefore described as unfortunate the use of the floor of parliament to impugn irregularities to legitimate contractual relations between two private companies. The Omahi of Nkuranza, Okatechi Ajimankudom, has commended foreign donor agencies and philanthropists for their role in supporting government in the development of the country. He stressed that Ghanaians owe gratitude to such donors, as their immense contributions have brought remarkable improvement in the living standards of people. Okatechi Ajimankudom noted this when he hosted a Netherlands senior expert in professional and technical management, Jacob Andreas Verhagen, at his palace in Nkuranza. Mr. Verhagen is on a visit to offer technical advice to the management of a printing press at Nkuranza. The paramount chief praised Mr. Verhagen for the visit in support of the development of Nkuranza. About 500 people from two communities in the Fantiakwa district of the Eastern Region have been rendered homeless due to a downpour in the early hours of yesterday. The communities are Bososo and Osino. According to the district chief executive Abbas Husseini, the rain began at about midnight and subsided at about 7 a.m. He said the downpour caused flood in the communities, which affected the movement of the people. Due to this, schools were closed down because roads were unmotorable. He said some victims affected by the floods are currently putting up with neighbors and relations, whilst the rest are occupying churches and schools. Mr. Husseini said the assembly has sent mattresses, mats and food to the displaced. He assured the people that the assembly would liaise with NADMU to ensure that they are assisted. Egyptian Prime Minister Issam Sharaf has postponed the swearing-in of a new cabinet intended to deflect anger over the pace of reform, as protesters say the sheikh does not go far enough. Sharaf, who heads a caretaker government after a revolt toppled Hosni Mubarak in February, had hoped the sweeping reshuffle would persuade the protesters to end a 10-day-old sit-in at Cairo's Tahrir Square. But the protesters complained that the new cabinet retains ministers they want sacked, including Justice Minister Abdul Aziz Al-Gindi, whom they accuse of delaying trials of former regime officials, including Mr. Mubarak. 14 new ministers and a deputy premier had been expected to take their oaths of office before Field Marshal Hussein Tantawi, who heads the ruling military, but state television announced that the ceremony had been postponed until today to allow for the completion of negotiations. U.S. officials have held talks with representatives of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi's government. The U.S. State Department said the meeting reiterates its demand that Colonel Gaddafi step down, involving no negotiations. A spokesman said the Libyan government supports dialogue with the U.S., but only if it is free from preconditions. In a statement, the U.S. State Department said U.S. officials have given representatives of Colonel Gaddafi a clear and firm message that the Libyan leader had to go. This is to pave the way for a new political process to begin, which will reflect the will and aspirations of Libyans. Meanwhile, rebels say they have pushed government troops westwards after seizing back most of the town of Brega, but the Libyan government has denied the claim, insisting that the key oil refinery town is still firmly under its control. The Venezuelan government says there is no doubt President Hugo Chavez will stand for re-election next year, despite the fact that he's undergoing further cancer treatment in Cuba. Earlier, President Chavez issued a message ahead of a second day of chemotherapy treatment, saying he would win his battle for life. Mr. Chavez first had surgery in Cuba to remove a tumor last month. His ill health has caused political uncertainty in Venezuela. On Saturday, ahead of his second trip to Cuba, Mr. Chavez delegated some of his powers to his vice president and finance minister, but he resisted calls from opposition politicians to hand over all presidential powers during his absence. In an interview on state television, the finance minister gave reassurances about Mr. Chavez's ability to remain in power, saying he thinks there is no doubt the president will be present at the 2012 elections and then for many years. A former News of the World journalist who made phone hacking allegations against the paper has been found dead. Sean Hoare told the New York Times the practice was far more extensive than the paper acknowledged when police first investigated hacking claims. A police spokesman said the death is currently being treated as unexplained, but was not thought to be suspicious. Meanwhile, computer hackers have tampered with the website of News International-owned The Sun's website. Jonathan Thompson comes in with the editorials.
And we start with a Daily Graphic, which calls on government to ask the metropolitan, municipal and district assemblies to do more on waste disposal now that most of them are practicing the polluter pay policy. The Graphic finds the filthy state of the capital unacceptable because of the health risk it poses. It therefore calls for a more holistic waste disposal industry that goes beyond just collecting waste to sourcing funds to establish waste recycling plants throughout the country. The Graphic urges government to swiftly intervene to arrest the garbage challenges in Accra and other urban areas. The Ghanaian Times focuses on an agricultural initiative by some stakeholders to enhance agricultural development in the country. It says since agriculture contributes a huge percentage to the country's gross domestic product and forms 60% of the nation's employment, it remains an important area which should not be downplayed. It is as a result of these that the paper recognizes the key roles of farmers in productivity and launched the initiative aimed at ensuring food sufficiency and security. The Times hopes the module, which will also create an insurance cover for farmers, will bring useful lessons to inform stakeholders for future replication. The paper calls on technocrats and stakeholders to work diligently toward the realization of the initiative to safeguard the nation's hardworking farmers from hazards of the profession. And those were the editorials by Jonathan Thompson.
Now to end the news, the main points again. Former Deputy Finance Minister Professor John Baffo says government is not likely to overspend in the election year due to stability in the global economy. Deputy Minister of Information Samuel Okudzeto-Ablakwa says homosexuality in the country is being exaggerated. And the journalist who blew the whistle over phone hacking at the News of the World has been found dead. The news was broadcast from Radio Ghana in Accra.